You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Hey, it's the MSP Zone again. The place where you can get all of your managed services information, analysis, whatever. As long as it's related to managed services, you'll get it here. Trust me. Today is no exception. Today we are going to talk about a ton of stuff, and it's going to be fast, it's going to be impactful, high energy, and I can't do it alone. I need some help because there's just too much to unpack here. And so I've got our old friend Rob Scott here to join me with all that heavy lifting. Rob, welcome back to the MSP Zone.
Welcome. Thank you, Charlie. Happy New Year. It's good to be back on the show with you in 2022 and looking forward to a great year.
Absolutely. Right back at you. Speaking of that, a segue into our topic today, which is, you know, armchair cybersecurity. And it really is armchair cybersecurity, armchair compliance, armchair risk. All this stuff is related to the concept of the non-professional getting involved in professional capacities or in professional situations. And I want to prelude it with this. Just watching the morning business news, you know, this morning, and the prediction yet again is 2022 is going to be the one standout sector on the planet is cybersecurity. That is the place where everything is happening. Financially, it's happening. Business momentum, it's all focused around cyber. And if you say cyber, you cannot help but include managed services. And so I want to phrase the topic in this way, because we have a lot of ground to cover, Rob. There are compliance people, there are security people, cybersecurity people, there are risk people. They tend to all overlap. And what I'm sensing is that there's a lot of people with newfound interest, and maybe interest is the wrong word, but they're active in the cyber realm, and they're talking a lot of stuff that doesn't necessarily add up. And these are not stupid people. They're just people who may have been placed into positions where they are not suited to act. And that's the start of the conversation. So first of all, are you seeing this? Does this make sense to you? I mean, you see it from the legal side perhaps, but what's your thought on that?
Well, yeah, I definitely see it from the legal side. And the issue is this. Many people are interested in managed services, and there are many people who have expertise in managed services, and they want to make that expertise available. It just is important to appreciate that when you're looking to build a team around professional help for managed services, you want to be really careful about how you build that team. And there's nobody that is going to be good at everything. And getting the right subject matter experts in place for each of the key areas that you need assistance is very important. And you could get yourself in a lot of trouble by trying to cut corners when you build your team if you're not involving the right experts.
Yeah. Okay. So to clarify or add on to that point, I am not talking necessarily about MSPs employing these people. I am talking about chiefly downstream customer-based armchair experts. And a great analogy came to me earlier, which is, when WebMD, which is good, I'm not knocking WebMD, but when WebMD and the internet in general came out, there was a very quick, and it still exists today, right? A quick impact on the medical profession, where you had doctors who were saying, I'm dealing with a lot of patients who now all of a sudden think they know what they're talking about because they went on the internet and they Googled something, and now they come into my office and say, why aren't you saying the same thing that that article said? And that's where I could be wrong, but I sense that this is happening again on the cyber front, where you're getting a lot of MSPs who are saying, I'm getting some weird stuff from people and it's not making sense, and they're calling us. That's what I'm talking about. What are your thoughts?
100% agree. It's a great analogy. You know, the more information is on the internet, the more the consumer is armed with information, some of which is applicable and some of which is not. And if you're the person that's got to deal with disabusing people of those things, it makes it harder. My colleague at my law firm told me today they're working on a proposal for a new client. And he says, if we're successful, do you think I'll be able to recover my attorney's fees in the context of a settlement? And my colleague told him no, that in her experience, you know, cases that settle before court, in this context, attorney's fees would not be recoverable. The best you're going to do is zero. And then he wrote back and said, are you sure we can't recover our attorney's fees even if we prove? And so I think that's a good example of what you're talking about. So here's somebody who read on the internet that the prevailing party in a litigation can recover their attorney's fees. And he doesn't understand the subtleties between
settlement and a verdict.
Settlement and a litigated case to judgment. And so he's got extra questions as a result of what he read.
All right. So if we acknowledge that it's happening, our goal here today is not to malign or speak ill about those people, because it's an important topic, right? I mean, for those of you who've been listening to the program for any amount of time, you know that Rob and I get on here, and even before we were doing the podcast, you could have come to MSP World and heard Rob and I talking about the same thing for 20 years. It's not new. This isn't stuff that we just came up with. We've been involved and excited and passionate about this topic for a very long time. So, Rob, that's my perspective. I believe that to be your perspective and motive as well. But I do feel that there is a point at which the MSP in the know has to push back and say, look, I'm sorry, but there's just some misinformation here. And whether it's about security, it's compliance, it's risk, there has to be some reckoning of, no, what you believe is wrong, and here's why it's wrong, and here's what is real and what is true. And it sounds like that's kind of what you experience, but, you know, are we on the right path there or what?
Well, look, as a lawyer, that's what I've got to do every day, right? But from an MSP provider perspective, I think it raises a lot of questions around what kind of customers do you take and not take? What kind of red flags could come up in these conversations that would suggest to you that this could be a problem type of engagement if you go forward with it? And what kind of implications does it have for the minimum services that you offer? I mean, let's say you run into one of these armchair security guys and he says, I've got the security thing covered. I just want you guys to do monitoring and a few other things. And when it comes to security, I'm just going to do that myself. I just finished a boot camp with CompTIA and I've got it handled.
Well, so I think that this is not just theoretical. I think that that is highly, highly likely as a fact pattern that is playing out all over the world. And we're not knocking CompTIA here, not saying anything wrong with that. But what we're talking about is what Rob's talking about is a customer who says, I don't need you, the MSP, to do certain things. But the MSP, in my opinion, Rob, I'd like your opinion on this. I think what they're saying is the MSP, I want you to take the risk on, but I'm not going to pay you to manage it or to take the risk on, but I'd like you to take the risk anyway. What's your opinion of that? Is that true? Is that not true?
Whether they intend to communicate it that way or not, that's what they're saying.
That's what they're practically doing. Basically, they don't have to be out to screw anybody. But that's the practical outcome.
That's the implication.
Okay.
You know, as you play it out. And that's why for managed services, when you think about your network, right? Your network is your internal network and the network of all of your customers. And any vulnerability in your network is a risk to your business. It's not like that guy who is telling you that he wants to cherry pick your services and have you, you know, be in a situation where they don't have the basic cybersecurity components that you're recommending. It's that client that's going to become a problem for you. It's that client that's going to put you in the decision of maybe having to settle a case that's not your fault as a practical matter to get out of it versus having the cost of defending it to prove that you didn't do anything wrong. It's that customer who's going to have an incident that's going to cause you to incur extra time and labor associated with managing the account more so than is appropriate for what they're paying you. It's that kind of customer where you're going to have more truck rolls and more tickets than is average. And so what I say is when those customers come along, when you encounter that know-it-all customer who's not prepared to take your core offerings, including your core security offerings, then that's a customer to say no to.
You have been always a proponent of this, but more recently you are really advocating, you know, MSPs to go out and to articulate in their contracts the things that they're doing and the things that they are not doing. And that's where the final expression of the relationship between that customer and the MSP really has to shake out. And I think if you want a practical, you know, takeaway of why does this subject matter? Why does this topic mean anything to me as an MSP operator, business owner, or executive? It matters because if you listen to what Rob said, what he's saying is they're not out to screw you in some cases. They just don't know what they're doing is harming you or placing an incredible amount of risk. So Rob, what in your opinion, I want to ask
this. The fact pattern is they don't value the services because they don't understand them. It's like the rich kid whose parents didn't go to college. They tell their kid, you don't need to go to college. Look, I didn't go.
So you think that it's really a question of ignorance on the part of the customer who says, I don't value this because I don't understand it. Is that?
Yeah. And I don't value it because I don't understand it. And nothing's happened to me. And or, you know, I'm not storing anything of value. I'm not a target. I'm small. Why would anyone want to go after me? You know, all of this small business mentality, you know, cash flow's tight. It's a pandemic, supply chain challenges, labor challenges. I mean, there's plenty of reasons why people don't want to spend any extra money.
When you encounter that type of a company or individual within a company who is unaware of the value and therefore they don't value you for what you are offering, they, at some point, I am hearing firsthand, and I just had a call today, they're firsthand trying to shift risk to the MSP by saying things such as, I want you to demonstrate that you can do this, 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 and this. And the query is all on the MSP with no particular attention to what the customer themselves are doing. And I'm not saying that the MSP shouldn't be responsible, but what I sense is there is very little, Rob, focus on the customer's internal security, hygiene, risk, and all of that. And all of the emphasis is, what are you, the MSP, going to do to protect me from myself? That's almost how I view this.
100%. And I think there's a mentality which goes to the importance of the customer contracts with the SMB owner, that the MSP, that's my IT guy. That's my IT people. You know, they take care of everything. If something goes wrong within IT, it's their fault, their responsibility. I just, you know, something's broken, something's down. And I just say, hey, something's broken, something's down. Make a ticket. They take care of it. And we have to disabuse them of that, because there's a limited scope to what we're delivering in managed services. It's very clearly defined. And as you said, Charles, over time, I've been developing customer contracts that make it abundantly clear what's included and what's excluded. And it's the exclusions that are so important when it comes to liability.
And, you know, people think, I mean, you know, you know where I'm coming from on this. You know, people have an opinion of lawyers where they're trying to be, you know, they're trying to take the cheap way out by being, you know, very careful and lawyerly in their wording. And I think that there used to be a precision to words. And that's maybe where I'm getting at, which is I feel like there is a imprecision of words and meaning, particularly around these armchair cyber experts, where they are saying things that they've heard. They're repeating things. They don't necessarily understand them. They don't understand the implication of that thing, whether it is a compliance request. And I'm getting a lot of compliance requests, like out of left field, things that have no bearing on the MSP themselves, and yet they're being brought to the MSP by the customer as if it's your responsibility, Mr. MSP, to do this, because you are obviously taking all of my risk on. That's somewhat how I see this.
There's no doubt about it. But when you price all the things in that are necessary to feel comfortable doing that, if the client balks at that, that's where you run into an issue. So in my opinion, there is a market that has emerged in managed services where the MSP takes on responsibility and provides professional liability insurance to adequately cover any negligent act or omission and any breach of the agreement that causes harm to the customer. And everything else is excluded. Criminal acts of third parties, negligent acts of employees, hardware failures from hardware manufacturers, defects in software from software vendors. All of that is excluded. And it goes to the nature of the fundamental understanding of what the MSP is doing. You know, if, for example, the MSP was not in the picture, the customer would carry all of the hardware failure risk, all of the software failure risk from the software that it would otherwise be running, all of the negligent acts of employees risk. And therefore, all of those risks should remain on the customer when the MSP agreement is entered into.
Rob, what? That is gold, what you just said. With, I hope everyone heard that. If not, I'm going to rewind virtually here. Without the MSP there, what would that customer be doing? Where would that risk be placed other than in that customer themselves? I mean, that's your point, right?
42% of all privacy incidents are caused from employee negligence. You know, you can provide security awareness training.
I'm surprised that's that low. That sounds low to me, but yeah.
But as one comedian put it, you can't fix stupid. So you could give them cyber training and they could still do knuckleheaded things that cause, you know, a privacy incident that, oh, by the way, is not your fault and responsibility and therefore should be above scope for what you get paid monthly if you have to remediate. And if there are damages, should be clear and unequivocal that they can't sue you for that in your agreement.
I suspect, and I don't think anyone's done a study of this, but I suspect that that's a very low percentage of MSPs that currently have contracts that reflect that type of relationship with their customers.
Well, every client that's using documents that were prepared by me or my firm is on a set of contracts that has as its fundamental precept of the relationship what I described to you.
No doubt. I mean, yeah, the present company excluded, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, look, as you know, most MSPs, when they start, are starting on a shoestring budget. Some have experience with other companies. Others have friends in the business. Others, you know, scour the internet to cobble something together. And they really didn't take the same amount of strategic thought into developing their customer contracting platform as they did in their service delivery model or configuring the RMM tools or setting up change management procedures or, managing the help desk. The customer contracting thing has been neglected by many. And why is that? Well, it's expensive. And they don't have a lawyer. And they don't, frankly, want one because they're expensive. And so, things need to happen where we can make quality contracts that are fair both to the MSP and to the end user readily available, such that the cost is not so prohibitive that it's not available to firms that are getting started.
Oh, that is coming. I'll say no more on that, but that is coming. I just think that there is a massive amount of important work that we have to do. And the first thing is you as MSPs have to be able to identify those types of individuals and organizations that Rob talked about. Because if you don't understand who they are, you will not be able to classify them as a company that is carrying a lot of risk that they want to dump right at your doorstep. And that's really what we're both saying here, is that you don't have to look at them as, oh, this person is shifty. This person is out to screw me over in business. It doesn't have to be that. In fact, it's most likely not going to be that. It's going to be someone who is very pleasant, who is very, someone you would want to do business with. They're an armchair expert in compliance and risk and whatever, and they don't understand enough to be able to say, I'm going to dump this risk on you and I am going to do nothing internally to protect myself from something bad happening.
Charles, two follow-ups to that. Number one, this is something that you have to do to really think about your existing customers as well.
Saying that you need to be able to make sure that you don't have existing clients who fit that profile.
And if you do, what do you do about it?
Jeez, I think that's
right. And then, the other part of it is I've got contracts that cover all this stuff. In the end, if you have my contracts, you're going to win a dispute with that customer. Or your insurance is going to pay. You're not going to be at a loss. Except what they don't teach you in law school. And the practicalities of being in a lawsuit, the distraction factors, the impact on your morale at your company, your personal ability to lead when you're being, you know, brought down with this negative crap. Those have a cost. And so lawyers like me are in the business of telling business owners who did nothing wrong sometimes that they need to write a check because it's the smartest thing to do from a business perspective.
And it's a guaranteed lesson. And what I mean,
the lesson to be learned is be very careful about who your customers are. Treat your customers' network like it's your own network. And if they want to run it in a way that you would never run yours, and they don't want to let you run theirs like you run yours, there's not a good fit.
What did Mr. Miyagi say about not getting into fights? No, be there. Don't get into a litigation if you don't want to spend the money. And I think that's kind of what I'm hearing you say, is that it's not enough just to identify these people. You need to start educating them and saying, look, you're signing this agreement. You understand what's in the agreement. You understand I'm not going to insure you against all these things. I think the MSPs have to do a lot more education to disarm these armchair experts in the future, personally speaking.
There's no doubt. But I think my point is this. The number one arsenal in risk management is no incidents. Choosing your customers wisely and managing your book of business from this perspective is the way you get no incidents to the extent it's possible.
So not every customer is a good customer. Don't say yes to everybody that walks in the door is the lesson here.
100%. And if you've got them and you're already doing business with them and you can't persuade them to make changes for their own benefit, even with a contract that I'll give you that'll say, if they don't follow your advice, you're not responsible for anything that happens, I would still recommend that you exit those customers. Because even with a strong contract, you have to continue to focus on the first mitigation strategy, which is no incidents.
You know, Rob, it occurred to me just now, listening to you talk about that, we're creating essentially a subprime market, right? Like, remember subprime mortgages. And it seems like we have the echelon of normal, accepted, proper MSP operations and relationships with the customers. And then you've got everything else below that, which I'll just affectionately call subprime. And there definitely is a market out there. I mean, I wouldn't call those providers in the subprime market MSPs. I'd call them break fix companies, VARs, reactive, whatever you want to call them.
Or MSPs that allow themselves to be associated with customers where they don't have minimum standards for security.
Meaning they're a real MSP, but they haven't figured out how to identify those risky armchair people.
Operating in what they thought was a flexible manner to customize solutions for clients, which was at one point a theory of managed services, which I think in the SMB space has been completely debunked. You know, the model for managed services is you offer a set of services that are core, that include basic security capabilities, including firewalls and antivirus and anti-malware. And in my opinion, multi-factor authentication, although I don't necessarily think the market has moved to an understanding that MFA is core, but I think it will. And I encourage my clients to make MFA part of core security. And then there are things that are in what I call managed security services. These are things that people could take if it's appropriate for their business. But if they didn't take it, it wouldn't be negligent. It wouldn't be below a reasonable standard of care. Stated alternatively, it wouldn't put you at undue risk relative to the market. What I'm saying is whatever your core bundle is, and it's certainly antivirus, and it's certainly protecting the perimeter and the endpoints. It's certainly, you know, against malware and spam and those basic, what we'll call core security features. Don't offer any deviation from that. In fact, I advise my clients not even to manage multiple firewalls.
If you've got for complexity reasons or what? Why? I mean, I understand why. I'm just curious what.
Complexity and expertise. You know, you want to be a fill-in-the-blank shop, and you choose the vendor that you feel comfortable with. You train all your people on that vendor. You get training and education for your people, immersed in that vendor, and you become the best you can be at managing those firewalls. And if a customer wants to come on with you and they don't want to go to your firewalls, then they're not your customer.
Yeah.
And it's these types of things that, you know, part of the reason McDonald's is one of the most successful restaurants in the history of the world is they've got a very straightforward menu, and you buy off of the menu with limited customization. You know, their basic big sandwich has been a Big Mac since I was a little kid.
It works.
It hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Okay. And so what I'm saying for managed services in the SMB space, to deliver it at low risk, it's about a technology stack that you feel good about, that you develop an expertise in, and that you can lead an organization to deliver, that's going to create limited to no incidents on your network, as defined as you and your customers. And you manage your customers' network the way you manage your own, and you manage them all the same with some flexibility to add non-core services. And that's the best way to manage risk. Then we could talk about contracts. Then we could talk about liability insurance. Then we could talk about regulatory data processing agreements and other things. But the number one thing that you can do, you don't need anybody else to do it. It's really what you do.
Yeah.
You're the security expert. And if you don't see yourself as a security expert, you need to get out of managed IT services.
Well, look, this is going to be, we're out of time, but this is going to be the topic, one of the many topics that we come back to this year, because we are now at the point where there are very real consequences for those MSPs and those customers who deviate from these kind of best practices. I mean, we're there now. This is not hypothetical. This is real. And we are now at the point where you either start to accept that you are part of that best practices community, or you are deviating from that and you are in that subprime community. And there are very real consequences to both, but especially not participating in the best practices that Rob and I have been talking about. So this is going to be something you're going to hear about, and it's going to come in a lot of different flavors and textures this year. But the first thing I think you guys could do is start to identify those types of characteristics, behavioral traits in your customers, and start to identify them, flag them, and start to react to them in a positive way. And I think that that will be a very good first step forward in 2022 to mitigating your risk, getting the right customers, who, by the way, Rob, I think that's a fantastic point. You want customers ultimately that will value you, because those will be the ones that will stick around.
Yeah, you want the customer who says, listen, I'm not an idiot. I read the paper. There's a lot of bad people in the world, and I recognize that if something goes wrong with my data, that's going to be really bad for my business and my clients.
Yeah. And I know that how you can help me. I value that.
Heard from so-and-so that you're doing a good job to help keep him safe, so I'm interested in talking.
Yeah.
That's a much better lead than, hey, what is your price for hosting E3?
Yeah. Well, like I said, this is going to be a big topic for this year, so stay tuned, and we'll be coming back to it periodically throughout the year. Rob, thanks again for coming on the show today, and that was really interesting. I got a lot of today's discussion.
My pleasure, Charlie. Thank you very much.
And as always, you guys stay safe out there. Hope this information helps. If you have questions, comments for myself or Rob, send us an email. We'd love to have you on the show. We can even just read your comments anonymously or what have you. But send us a comment or a question if you got it, and we'll happily address it. Until next time, that's all.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.